city commerce, but don't have time. Call e-commerce hotline, e-commerce hotline. If you need help to make your store shine, call e-commerce hotline, e-commerce hotline. 888-499-3266. 888-499-3266. Wanna see you win? It's time for you to shine. Call e-commerce hotline, e-commerce hotline.
The e-commerce hotline, brought to you by Bmeyer.
This is the first ever inaugural live stream episode of the e-commerce hotline. I am here with Saptarshi Saps Nath, coming all the way to you from New York City, by way of San Francisco, by way of, where are you at? Where are you going back to in Asia again?
Singapore.
My man is hailing from Singapore. That's where he sits in his command throne running the company, but he is an entrepreneur. He's always on the go. So today we have Saps here. He is the founder of Airboxer. Airboxer is an app for Shopify. We're going to get a demo on this live stream today. It's going to be really interesting, combined with the fact that we are also going to, what else are we going to do? We are going to talk about the entrepreneurial journey, talk about what it's like to be a SaaS founder and experience the ups and downs, highs and lows, the growth, the team, you know, all the different factors that go into being a SaaS founder are going to be covered today. We've got 9 viewers out here right now. The comments are kind of lighting up, kind of not lighting up. All right, we got some peoples on here. Yeah, it's happening. All right, we got some viewers. So I'm Mayor Bianchi. I'm the founder of the e-commerce hotline. I am the founder of Bmeyer. There should be a Bmeyer logo somewhere in here, but we messed that up today. And I'm tired of going back and forth trying to put graphics on the screen. But Bmeyer is an e-commerce web solutions agency. We do design, development, consulting, strategy, marketing, and more, based in Brooklyn, New York. We've been around for 10 years, and the e-commerce hotline is our attempt to stand out from the podcast crowd. I've been working on this for a few years. There's a jingle. There's a DJ drop. You know, I would like to have the air horn sound right here, go, but I don't have anything handy right now. You know, we're a little unprepared for that, but you got to come back for the second episode, where we get a little crazier with the sound effects. Also, I'd like to shout out our sponsor, Drink Sip. This is a non-alcoholic beer. You see they have 4 fine selections. We've got the 311 Stealing Hoppy Hours. That's an IPA. We got the Watermelon Refreshing Wheat, which I'm going to crack right now. We got the version 2 of the Watermelon Wheat, and we got the version of the Hazy IPA. So you got to listen to that ha sound. This is non-alcoholic beer. We're not getting drunk at 4:45 on a Thursday, even though it's perfectly acceptable time for happy hour. That this is the Saps happy hour. And that's quite refreshing. So, now without further ado, now this is when you can give your official intro, Saps. This is for the actual people watching, for the real podcast. I do have a stream deck. I just don't know where it is. Thank you. But this is your chance to give the real intro, to make it happen, because the Stream Deck would require a very long USB cord, which we got. But, you know, it's just every time there's an idea of something I need, I write it down on the whiteboard, and then we acquire that. So, Saps, without further ado, this is your chance to tell us about Airboxer and what you've got going on. And I'm going to just make sure the hotline can be called. Okay? Go for it.
Yep. Thank you, Meyer. So quickly, everyone, my name is Saps. Saptarshi, I go by Saps. I started Airboxer a couple of years back. What we do is we automate all the data work, especially related to revenue, marketing, e-commerce stats, product sales, things like that within your Google spreadsheets. So we connect behind the scenes to Shopify, ad channels, email channels, and automate all the reporting you will need to make decisions. We work with 10, 20, $30 million brands to understand exactly what decisions they make and what data they need to automate those decisions. And then we automate those decisions into and convert them into spreadsheet reports Then we open it up to everyone so that even a $3 million brand can really benefit from understanding how $10 million brands work.
Keep going.
Sorry.
Sorry. No, keep going. I'll hype it up after.
Before this, I used to be a VC for a couple of years. Before that, I started my first company, another DTC brand, way back in 2012. And I was on Magento for that product, Meyer.
Shout outs to Magento. So you're a man of the ecosystem. You know the highs and the lows of hosting your own e-commerce platform and also SaaS. Keep going.
Yes. And before that, I spent 8 years working with Gartner. That was
the magic. Wait, Gartner from the Magic Quadrant. That guy.
Yes, that guy.
So Saps invented the Magic Quadrant. Okay, keep going.
I wish I could say that, but no, I'm not responsible for that. Whether you like it or not, it might be a good thing or a bad thing, right? But yeah, no, I worked on big data studies for very large Fortune 100 companies during that time, and that's when I noticed the obsession business folks have with spreadsheets. You know, in those days, I thought people, you know, spreadsheets are going to die away in 5 years. Why are people so obsessed with that? Well, 20
Best
years later,
ever.
People are still working. Exactly. 20 years later, people are still working on spreadsheets.
Yeah, I personally love spreadsheets, to be honest with you. You can't go wrong with spreadsheets. Shout out to my man, Alex Teller and Codefaria. The VLOOKUP has saved many, many a lives in its day. But you said a lot of good stuff there. And so I just want to kind of remark on the fact that I feel really honored on the very first live, actually the very first episode of the e-commerce hotline ever, because my guest yesterday had to cancel, that we're speaking to an e-commerce legend. So my man has operated a brand. He's worked for Gartner, who puts out the Magic Quadrant, who basically they hold the fortunes of very large enterprise e-commerce platforms and other technologies in their hands and literally disappoint or excite many, many people every year. And beyond that, Saps is a brand founder. So he's actually operated his own e-commerce websites. What were you selling?
So that was a re-commerce company. We used to work with very large marketplaces and brands and manufacturers to help them manage and liquidate their customer returns.
Okay, so re-commerce is a term for recycling all the shit that you guys returned that was perfectly good, and it's just going to go in a dumpster or be written off as a tax liability, but they help you squeeze the juice out of that lemon and actually turn it into a profit sector, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell me more about that.
Yeah, so we used to, like, whenever somebody returns, say, an iPhone or or an Android phone, instead of going back to the marketplace, it would come to us. Then we would QA it, refurbish it if needed, and then resell it. At a significant discount, obviously, and we used to take like a commission and service fee on every part of that process, and it was a very interesting business. I'm still a big believer in the recycling re-commerce ecosystem. I think it's a lot tougher to resell a product than it is to sell in the first place, but it is a problem worth solving.
I have bought items from Amazon that are in used like new condition, or you know, or it's a slightly damaged box. Not so much, you know, when it's like somewhere suspect. And like, what were the most oft common returned items or things that, you know, you would find people are like, oh, you know, like, it, like, you know, it's the most commonly returned thing that you were able to resell?
It has to be. So we mostly worked on electronic items, and for the most part, it was like whatever the popular mobile phone used to be at the time, right? Like iPhones were returned a lot. Then there were other like Xiaomi phones were returned a lot. But 97 out of 100 iPhones did not need any additional work from us to make it right to resell. People were just returning it because maybe they didn't like the interface. Maybe they didn't like, you know, the color of the phone or the shade. Or the cover, or what, you know, could be a myriad of reasons, but you would get a very good deal getting, you know, buying customer returns instead of buying a new one. There's literally nothing wrong with that. If you bought a like new product on Amazon, chances are very likely you're going to be very happy with it. There's no reason to worry about the quality.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about it. Sorry, I was distracted trying to set up if someone actually calls the hotline, what, you know, that we could get their audio piped into this call, because otherwise what's the point? But I'll just hold up my speakerphone if it goes down. So that was your experience as a reseller. Did you found that company or you were just part of it, or what was how did it start? How did it end? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let me tell you that there's a good story behind how it started. We actually started as a way for video gamers to trade in their video games and buy new ones.
Aha.
Yeah.
And, so like the GameStop was in Singapore, yeah, or where was this?
No, this was in India, but it was very much like GameStop, except that somebody would actually come to your house, pick up the product and bring it back, and then a new one would be shipped to you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we got a lot of traction for it. But then, you know, the gaming, especially PS3, PS4 gaming is not very big. It's not a very big market, or was not a very big market when we started out in 2012.
That's so true.
We eventually had to expand into other categories. Then we got into electronics. Then we realized that, hey, you know, buying one product from one customer and then, you know, shipping it out to another customer is prohibitively expensive. So we decided to start working with other marketplaces who were starting to reach out to us to see, hey, can you get rid of all these products that we have that are not selling?
So basically, they became the depots. Like the item would already be at their warehouse, eliminating your need to pay for inbound shipping and outbound shipping.
Exactly.
Which made it a pure marketing and reselling business. And that's a smart, you know, so you quickly realize that you got out of the logistics and the holding of the goods. That was pretty smart.
Yeah, yeah. Holding of the goods, the logistics, you know, even then we had a lot of people. I think we had expanded to about 200, 250 people.
Wow.
But that is not something I will do ever again. In the sense, I have that bigger team, which is why, you know, I'm in SaaS now, where you don't need 200 people to move, to sell a product.
How many people are on your team now?
We're 6 people spread across the world. We have 2.5 people in Singapore.
2.5? Okay.
Yeah, you've met Salima, right? She's half in Singapore, half in the US.
She's half everywhere. Yeah, she's all over the place. That's true.
Yeah. And then we have people in India, an analyst in Nigeria, and am I missing someone? Yes, and one part-time person in Uruguay.
Oh, wow. And what does the person in Uruguay do? Development? Or...
Yeah, she's closer to the U.S. time zone, so she works with, you know, helping Salima with connecting with people, following up, chasing. You know, she's spending her time between marketing and some bit of sales.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, ever since I met the Airboxer team, I feel like your fortunes have been only growing. So I want to hype up to anyone watching this right now what this opportunity represents. So Saps is a very humble founder. My man has been a VC. So he's enabled dreams. He's crushed dreams. He probably has some really good shares of some very nice companies right now, because I don't feel like you ever stop being an investor once you start, right? Because you're snowballing it, unless you get completely wiped out. I feel like that, you know, you just turn one good investment to another, like the BVXL guys, they just keep rolling, you know, like, hey, like I've been a perennial winner, and you get to keep calling yourself a winner because you invested in what you sold one thing, turned into another. Now, you know, the ecosystem. So yeah. Is there any portfolio companies that you are willing to discuss or say that you are really proud of, like to be a part of, or, you know, that you are hot bullish on that you want to shout out on this live stream? I know it's like picking a favorite child, but, you know.
Yeah. You know, when I used to work with all the founders back in my last company, I always used to tell them that you are my second favorite team in the company that I worked with. And I literally told everyone that they were my second favorite company. And everyone was freaked out that who the hell is this first favorite company, because we are the second. And then at some point they exchanged notes and figured out there was no first favorite.
That's funny. So you would just say that to hurt no one's feelings. You could have said like my own company, like the VC itself, like, you know, the VC fund itself, because this is the mothership. So,
yeah.
But it doesn't have to be your favorite. But I meant, are there any companies right now that you're like, yo, go check these guys out? Or is it all about Airboxer? No distractions. You know, like, what's the vibe?
There are so many amazing founders I worked with. I'm not in touch with all of them, obviously, anymore. It's been a couple of years.
Okay.
The one that I do really want to really like is a company called Haystack.
Okay.
They basically help your engineering managers understand the performance of their engineering staff, basically. So I really love both those founders. They've been, and I've been in touch with them for a while. They're now, I think they're also split between the US and Singapore.
Interesting.
Yeah, you should check them out. I think it's called haystack.io. I'm not sure of
Okay,
the.
so it's like finding your needle in the haystack, trying to locate
Yeah.
the so like the performance of engineers, like meaning like relating to like lines of code shipped or certain
Yeah.
metrics around that.
Correct. I think my data might be a bit outdated, but then I think they were looking at, how many code reviews do they need. How much are they pushing? How frequently are they pushing code to GitHub and some such?
Okay, and that's awesome. So that brings us to the current day. You're here evangelizing for your company. You work with some $20 million brands, some $30 million brands that you guys are real humble when I see you in the streets. Salim was over here at the Shopify events in New York. That's how we met your company. My good man Yannick and I were at an event in the Shopify space in New York City. Sorry, this drink sip got me burping over here because it's so delicious. We met Salima, really impressed, great evangelist for your brand and your company. And then we all hooked up with a lot of founders during that period. And so I'm happy that I've gotten to meet you in person before. It's great. New York is like the center of the hub of innovation besides, San Francisco, Austin, all these other places, Miami. But New York is just a very like welcoming place despite its urban, hostility latently. But like New York is a very it's a very cool place. Like there's so many ways to just encounter if you want to do something fancy, if you want to do something casual, if you want to go for a walk by the river, go for a walk in the park, go to the museum, you provoke your thoughts however you want. I think that's what I love about being a New Yorker natively is what it does for people. Like, people come here and they forget. Like they forget about everyone else because you just get so caught up in the moment. And do you have customers on the ground here in New York, like fashion brands or any people that you meet with locally?
Yeah, actually, we've very recently both began focusing on the New York ecosystem and the US ecosystem and a little bit of Toronto as well.
Okay.
Initially, when we started out, we had more users from Australia, Southeast Asia, and India, and the UK.
Okay.
And then we saw a lot of people from US discovering us organically and then trying us out and then converting into customers. But we didn't really get a lot of feedback from them in terms of where did they find us? Why did they start using us? So we figured the best way to do that is to actually be here and spend more time here.
Okay.
We are working with a few brands based out of the US. I think about almost half of our current customers come from the US, but I'm not sure if any of them are based.
Very interesting that, like, basically, you embrace the spreadsheets, democratize the spreadsheets, because I feel like spreadsheets are the last millennium's ChatGPT, right? Like, you can do wizardry with the spreadsheets that you can't do. advantaged if you didn't have the knowledge or the foresight. Because, for example, you'd be sitting there for hours trying to prepare something that someone else could do.
Sounds good. Amazing. And thank you for bringing out the spreadsheet angle of this, right? Because I feel like, no, back when I was, one of the things I learned from being a consumer-focused consumer founder before is that changing human behavior takes a lot of time and takes a lot of money. And yeah, well, I'm sorry about, I shouldn't laugh at that, but, you know, but that's a very big challenge, and people do not want to change the way that they work as far as possible, right? And therefore, you know, my philosophy has always been that we should be easing into whatever workflow that they have already, instead of trying to change them the way that they work, change the way that they work. And that's why, you know, Airboxer is so very focused on spreadsheets. I'll show you. Let me start with sharing my screen, and let me know if you can see it fine. Awesome. Awesome. All right, so this is the homepage where you land. On the right here, you can see a few important KPIs from your business, like what's my LTV, what is my MER, marketing efficiency ratio, what's my landed CAC, and overall sales numbers. Now, as soon as you connect your Shopify store, you connect all your ad channels, these numbers will start populating. In the middle of the page here, everyone sees a different feed, sort of like the LinkedIn feed we are all familiar with. What's happening here is it's pulling out insights from your store and providing you with suggestions on what you could be doing. Like you mentioned. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You don't have to sit in front of this every day if you're using Airboxer, but let me give you an example of the kind of insights you get from this, right? For instance, you've sold $50 worth of goods to returning customers. This is X percent of all your sales. Now, mine is demo data, so take this these numbers with a healthy pinch of salt. But let's say your repeat rate is 20%, right? Now, here is where we use OpenAI APIs to help you interpret the data and do something about it. For example, for your business, what's the, like, is 50% a good number, bad number? There's that. Then based on what you sell, everybody would see a different kind of recommendation. Like if you... Yeah. Yes. So we would look at what kind of categories do you operate in, what kind of regions do you deliver in, things like that, and eventually provide you with the with an output that is very specific to your business. Yeah. Yeah, this I think we are now using. I think we're using. The last time I checked, we were using ChatGPT 3.5. Yeah, one thing you should, I didn't know myself is that the results you get when using the API are slightly different from the results you get when you're chatting with it. And what we've fine-tuned is obviously the API, right? Of course, it Exactly. Exactly. So we're able to, the kind of prompts that we're using, the kind of inputs that we're using, it is a bit more stable when you're using the API. But I think when I try doing the same thing on the chat interface, then like you mentioned, I also get a lot of junk. Yep. Now this is where the magic happens, the Hops marketplace. What we Hops are basically like Zapier's apps, but they're automations of data, not automations of workflows. Now you could we have about 120 different Hops automations that we have created here. Many of them are in collaboration with other brands. Now, how do we run this? Now we've got a series of sheets here that that I've opened in the past before, but for now, let me just create a new sheet.
Can everyone hear me now? I totally messed this up before, by the way. No one could hear me, but at least they could hear you. So I was saying a bunch of stuff, and the world will never know what it was. So keep going.
Let me just rename this. So what's happening here is this is a new spreadsheet that's been created when I clicked the create new spreadsheet button. This
Okay.
spreadsheet is actually inside of your Google Drive. You can see the link over here as well, the left. So once you create a report inside of Airboxer, you don't need to always come back to Airboxer. You can always open the same sheet from your own Google Drive.
Yep. So
Now,
you're saying you don't like, can you repeat that for me? Because I was distracted. Sorry. It's a live stream. I'm just going to be honest.
Now, what I mean is, here on the right, you can see a Google Drive, a Google Sheet. On the
Yes.
left, here are all the interfaces for Airboxer, right?
So
Now,
that's
this
your
Google
custom
Sheet.
interfaces. So you're also a master of the Google APIs because that's using
Yes.
their version of Shopify, Polaris, whatever. Like you created interfaces so that you can pull in different kinds of data. It's like a plugin almost, right?
Yeah. So this is the opposite of a plugin in the sense, instead of us being embedded inside a Google spreadsheet, we are embedding a Google spreadsheet inside of us.
Interesting.
So here on the right.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So we're still in the back end of Shopify or in your app, and that's cool. Okay, I see it now.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You can actually move this out of the way and continue to work on your spreadsheet if that's what you want. On here, we've got, you can see a lot of these that I've already added, all of these reports that I've already added.
And so is that something that your subscribers get is like based on demand or based on, what you guys think is good? Like you can, you can like you add new apps every time.
Yeah, so we've worked with close to 200 brands to get here.
Okay.
And usually it involves a pretty consultative process of understanding what decisions they're making, what data they look at to make those decisions. And then we go ahead and automate it into these outputs, right? And so if a new brand comes in today, 9 out of 10 times they will find an existing report that already answers their questions. But then that one time out of 10 that they won't find it, then we will come in and create it for them, and then we'll open it up to everyone else.
Got it. So it's like you can get the competitive edge, but if it's a really good product, then like if it's a good report, you'll open it up to the market. So I don't remember what I'm trying to think of a good analogy for this, but basically your product just keeps getting better and better. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. into a snow boulder of useful reports and data that just keeps getting better. So the more brands that use it, the more intelligent questions get asked or proposed, then it goes back into the product. I think that's really cool just because a lot of products stagnate, right? The bigger they get, the less resources they have to innovate. But it sounds like it's the opposite with Airboxer. So the more people that get on the train, the better it gets.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's let me give you an example. So there's this one fashion company in the UK that we worked with. One of the things that they were trying to do was understand when is the right time for us to introduce a new line, a new fashion line, right?
Okay.
And for that, we had this consultative call with them, and then eventually what we discovered was that they would mark down last season or lower selling items, not as a discount, not using a discount code, but just, you know, strike out and then lower price now. And then there were other newer products that were also selling well, and then they were at full price. So we created an analysis for them that would compare how much of their overall stock is selling at full price versus lower price, what the speed of sale for each of those products are, and so on. And when the proportion of markdown products starts to go beyond a certain percentage, then they would know, okay, we need to start working on our next next season line.
Got it.
You know, 2 months later, they launch the next season line.
So it's like they get a new pulse in their business, not just when the designers feel like designing. We're like, hey, the people are demanding new styles. Get to work, factory. Yeah. Like,
yes.
Okay. That's incredible. And so, tell me more.
And there's another example I want to share. The reason I'm sharing these examples is that when you are looking at data, dashboards don't always work, because even if when you use a dashboard, you're going to download them into a spreadsheet to find the one or two things that you need to answer.
That's true.
And one example I'd give is there's this, you know, CPG company where, not CPG, yeah, maybe, that we were working with, and they're in a massive sale, right? Usually they would get maybe 200 orders a day. That day they got 5,000 orders.
So out of nowhere, they just blew up.
Yeah, I mean, they had a run up to it, but on one specific day, there was like 5,000 orders. Then a month later, our contact there gets a call from their head of ops, and the head of ops says that, hey, you know what? You ran this sale a month ago, and I saw about 100 packages from that sale that did not ship out. But don't worry about it. I've shipped it out now. Okay. Now our contact, he wanted to identify who those 100 people were, and then send them a special gift, an apology gift.
Oh, like, we're sorry we never shipped your order, but here's something for all your trouble. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you think that it would be a pretty simple way to identify which 100 products were impacted, but it was not.
So you're saying it was people that it wasn't just 100 specific orders. It was anyone who ordered the 100 specific products?
No, there was no clear signal like that. So basically, there were 100 packages that did not ship, right? Then they shipped it out. But there was no way for our contact, who runs e-commerce for them, to know which 100 were delayed, right? So they knew that when the order came in, you know, what the order was. There was the only way to find that was literally go into every one of those 5,000 orders, identify, look at the timestamps, and find out when it was shipped.
Yeah, now, because they couldn't just filter by all their shipments, because then it would get lost in things that shipped the day they figured it out.
As well, right?
Oh my!
So obviously that was an exciting, I'd say, project for us. But literally, it took us 10 minutes to figure this out, because we have one of our hops is basically a fulfillment export that gives you the timestamp of whenever the status changes. Right?
Okay.
So all we had to do is look at the orders from that date and filter for times when the time difference between order received and order shipped out was more than 30 days or 30 days or whatever the date was. So it literally took us 10 minutes to, well, it took us 1 minute to run that report, but it took us 9 minutes of discussion to understand how to best, how to best figure this out. But literally we had the list of 100 products, 100 orders that were impacted, and then he sent them out the next day itself.
That's amazing. By the way, I'm gonna need for interactive purposes when we're just to see if you can. I can't figure out how to pin your video on the screen while you're sharing. So do me a solid and stop sharing for a minute so the people can remember who you are and, you know, they know what you're about, right? So anyhow, so like in that scenario where you helped people kind of like pinpoint that, was that like a light bulb moment or an aha moment for you and your company or for them? Like, what was the impact of that story?
Right. I mean, I think for them, it was more that they hadn't really thought that they could use Airboxer this way to answer such an incredibly specific question. And it sort of made them open up to, oh, like, I didn't realize that I could answer this question using Airboxer. What else can I do with Airboxer since then, right?
Okay.
And usually we see that most of our customers, when they schedule a report, there are usually 3 to 5 reports that they schedule. Now, this company is now one of our power users, and they have close to 50 reports that they have scheduled to run behind the scenes every day.
And are those are for reports in different departments, like finance person gets a report, the brand ordering, you know, the merchandising, et cetera.
Exactly. So usually most folks find us through one of our content pieces around marketing.
Okay.
And most people do come to us for marketing data automation at first. But once they've already automated things like ROAS analysis and profitability analysis or some such related to ads, then they would move on and start looking at all the other more business intelligence analytics instead.
Well, that's awesome. So then do you guys have a testimonial gallery or like customers telling success stories?
Yes, we do have one on our website, which profiles, I think we have about 5 or 6 customer stories which we have profiled so far. And that comes with testimonials that they have shared with us as well.
That's awesome. Well, that's kind of the proof is in the pudding. So just, you know, for my purposes, I wish I had a brand going hot of my own right now so that I could use it. But what I like is that brands large and small who we work with, both, you know, brands that are bigger, brands that are smaller, should definitely check this out. And like, what is the price point range of this product? Since everyone's so price conscious right now, sorry for putting you on the spot, but like, is there like an entry level package? Is it based on the number of data records? Like, obviously, you're crunching a lot of numbers, or you know, you're pulling a lot of data out, transforming it, and then spinning it out. What's the scheme? Like, what's the pricing scheme based upon?
Good point. Let me just quickly share my pricing page.
Okay, hold up. I'm gonna get that up. Perfect. People can see it. I'm just gonna switch so people can see it bigger. All right. Here is the pricing page.
Great. So most of our customers are in this plan.
Okay.
Usually around the $3 million point is when
the startup plan.
This, yeah, we segregate them by the number of reports that you need to schedule, the number of integrations you need, and the number of people that you need to bring onto a workspace. A lot of our users also run multiple stores, so when they run multiple stores or run multiple brands, we would give them volume discounts as well.
Got it. So you get them on if you have multiple stores. You go to Pro comes with multiple integrations that you can connect different, different instances of Shopify, for example, makes sense. And then from there, you kind of grow from there. But then if you need more reports, that's where you might get some extra report credits or whatever. And that's where the volume discounts come in, right?
Yes, absolutely. So for our larger price points, higher price points, we would also create very custom custom reports for you. We would help you hook up these reports into a dashboarding tool like Google Looker Studio.
Okay.
So that, you know, every one of your teams is looking at the same numbers at all times. That's the biggest challenge that we hear from others that, hey, you know, my marketing person is pulling data from a different system or at a different time. My finance team is pulling data from a different system or a different
time. I get it. Like, your source of truth is not my source of truth. My source of truth is better than yours. And then, like, nobody can get along because they're just fighting over the veracity of their numbers.
Exactly. One thing I do want to highlight is for really early companies who haven't hit 1 million in sales yet,
Okay, so for
we have
aspirational
a plan.
brands.
Yes, we have a plan that starts at $50 a month only.
So if you're watching this, you need to try the trial. You need to try the $50 a month plan if you're a small brand, because that's when you might need the help and the power of this data even more. If you're a one-man band and you're trying to take it to the next level, this is like hiring someone to help you. And then if someone's on the introductory plan, do they get support? Do they get some kind of just a helpful pat on the back to get started? Like, how do you guys empower
Yes.
people? Because maybe that could be how they take their business to the next level.
Yes, absolutely. All of our plans come with a personalized onboarding in the beginning,
Okay.
and
I'm gonna put it on my
also,
store.
And also we have a chat just like this. We have a chat inside the main app as well, where you can reach us if you have any questions or if you're struggling to find the right kind of automated report for your business.
There's your chat
Or
right there. There you
so
go. Is
this
that powered by Intercom or what power is that?
no, this one is called GIST, GIST.
Okay, I get the gist. All right, keep going.
So yes, that we're trying to keep our pricing as simple as possible. This one is an all like a all frills support thing,
Which
support
one?
option. On the right you can see
Okay,
custom
the
for
custom.
$2,500.
Yeah, so this is
Yeah.
if you want to be the belle of the ball. You fully believe in data, like you want the full access to everything. You want to really like basically hire Saps as an extension of your team and his analysts. This is what you do. Your fractional
Yes,
data team.
absolutely. Absolutely. This is the fractional data team. And this also comes with my personal phone number, so you never get lost.
So I'm gonna WhatsApp you right now on that. You know, meaning like if you need a nudge and it's an emergency, you can just
Yes,
do it, right? Okay.
exactly.
That's cool. That's great. What I guess now, because we're nearing we're at the 1 hour mark of this fiasco with the technical difficulties. Were you wanting to show me one more thing here? Please do
Yes,
if you do.
I want to show one thing in particular about. I want to run one of these reports and show it to you.
All right, my man is gonna run this report in real time. And now
Yes.
I realized I can zoom so I could show you the actual, what's going on here. So, okay, tell me what
Awesome.
report we're going to run.
Awesome. So we're going to run this report called Frequently Bought Together, but
Okay.
if you ever went to Amazon, you would see
Yes.
recommendations
Yeah, you
below,
see
right?
three products lined up next to each other, the
Exactly.
FBT report. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, FBT report. So that this is what it does for Shopify stores. It will also help you create bundles. So
Yeah.
our merchants can create the right kind of bundles, right? And what we do for this is actually called it's a popular methodology called market basket analysis.
Put that
So I'm
back up
literally going.
there. Okay, you got it. Never mind. Do you?
Yeah.
But yeah, so identify the top 1,000 products frequently purchased together in the same order. Use the data design bundles and offers to help you increase AOV. Okay. So, okay,
Right.
go for it.
So I'm going to hit run. I can select the
Look how
time frame
fast this
here as
is.
well.
Okay, so this is the
But
time frame.
yeah. So I can also customize it. Sorry, customize the time frame. But what I'm going to do is run this up. So what's happening here is we're pulling the data, the sales data for the last 7 days.
Yeah, so
We're
this is the
looking at what.
post-Valentine's Day bump. Keep going.
Yes. And then we're looking at what kind of products were, purchased, what was added to cart. Which carts were had an overlap in products, and what did those products look like? Now,
Okay.
mine is all fake data. In your real store, you'll see better data. But what this is telling me is this. So this is what's called a market basket analysis. It
Okay.
tells me that 0.2% of all the orders had this combination of products in it.
Okay.
And then it tells me that of all the product, all the orders which had product A in it, 100% of them also had product B in it. Now, in because I'm using fake data, it's 100%. For your case, probably be like 20%, right?
Okay.
And finally, I find this last bit really helpful. What this is telling me is when product A gets added to the cart, the chances of product B being bought goes up by 498x.
Okay, so in this case, this crazy data is driving me nuts. But like, what, what, in like a real world scenario? So you're saying like the second you get, so this is about carts or is it about orders or both?
No, it's about orders in the same cart. So, for example, let's say that someone who buys bananas at the store, mm-hmm. the chances of them also buying milk, it actually goes up by 400x.
Yeah, but is it buying it at the same purchase or at a later time?
Same
okay,
purchase.
So meaning like if I'm buying one can of drink sip, like I'm buying this watermelon yeah. wheat here, then my chance of buying the 311 Hoppy Hour goes up by 52%. Because
exactly.
something, so it establishes like the relationship between it. Like, for example, if I had a matching pair of pants to go with my top, I might, you know, like if it's like a, like, you know, a set, basically,
yeah.
like it helps establish those relationships, but the hidden ones that you might not know about.
But imagine the brand that, you know, the brand you're talking about now, right? If they knew that, hey, people who buy strawberry also buy blueberry, right? Or people who buy strawberry never buy blueberry.
Yeah, you would
so
try not
be...
to show the blueberries at the same time as the, in the same place as the strawberries.
Exactly. The other thing that you are referring to is actually called cross-sell analysis. We also have that.
Okay, there's a cross-sell analysis.
Yeah, so what this does is when people buy X, what do they go on to buy next over the next whatever days?
That's cool. So you're, and you can, all right, so show me what the parameters on that one are. So
yeah.
this is
what
you
my
know,
fake
you're gonna
data
make a
looks
new
like.
sheet. Yep. Yeah, exactly. We need some better fake data, man. We gotta get the team on that.
Yeah, so now it's pulling the same like orders data and
but what was the
buying.
Time period you selected?
Last 7 days.
Okay, so then in layman's terms, this is like if somebody bought X over the next seven days, this was the likelihood they bought Y. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, exactly. So
can't see your column
people,
headings. Yeah.
Yeah. So people who bought Toy 394.
Okay.
Right, this one. 20% of them went on to buy Toy 339.
Oh, okay. So it's a matrix like that. Like against, and then why is it only five products here? Is that just this data set?
Yeah, I mean, only five products must have sold in the last 7 days in my fake store, and therefore it's showing only those five. In your case, it'll be like however many products you have.
And I see this is probably difficult to sort and filter, but like based on the way the headings are.
Yeah, give me, like, you can, you know, sometimes if you're interested in only knowing what do people who buy this X product go on to buy next, you can also just hit customize and add a filter.
Oh, so they're filtering with this. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So like meaning like if you sell a small number of products and you want to know what the path to you know, because then you can target your marketing flows, your automations, like, hey, when's the right time to tell someone, hey, what about this? Almost.
Yeah. So I'm just going to put in this, for example, right? I'm going to use this SKU here and let me put it on a new sheet over here. What first is this SKU? Hit next.
Okay.
So then it becomes a lot more manageable. If you already know what you're looking for, you might as well just enter that SKU. If you want to have like a more of a broader business level view, then you use the full thing. And you
That's
can enter
cool.
multiple SKUs as well. You don't need to enter only this SKU. You can enter multiple.
Yeah, SKUs. You can see a subset. But then interpret this. So someone who bought Toy 394, which is the Monster High Dance, the Fright Away, Claudine, Wolf Doll, shout out to Monster High. There was a 1 in 5 chance that they also bought these two products, meaning like in the next, like, so basically in your fake data, maybe there was a test order, like there was 5 test orders and one out of those 5 test orders had both of these products on it. That's why it's matrix this way, right?
Yeah. And this is where it's not in the same order. This is what do they go on to buy next? So they bought
the next order, meaning like within 7 days they placed an order for these two items.
Correct.
Okay. That's
and,
really cool.
I mentioned you know, the more popular one that most people come to us for.
Of course, the ROAS. What story can I tell my team, my investors, myself when I go to bed at night? Am I getting proper ROAS or am I just throwing my money away? and giving it to Google and Facebook and those ungrateful overlords of all of us. This is that report that helps that you understand report. It.
Yeah.
So what does it look like?
So this one is a daily ROAS report. There's a monthly ROAS report as well. I'll show you the daily one first because this is the more popular one.
And also talk about what integrations go into this report.
Yeah. So this one uses Shopify, Google Ads, Facebook Ads, and TikTok Ads.
Okay, so you literally have to connect 4 integrations out of your list of integrations.
Correct. And so basically, it's going to look at how much did you spend on each of these channels, what did it, how much in sales did each of them claim, and then what was actually the total sales from Shopify.
Interesting. So it helps you like kind of validate. Go. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So while this is loading, one of the things that we did as a you know, version 2 of this is we went and looked at the ROAS for sure, but then we also looked and looked at the profit on ad spend. So what that does is
that's really shout outs to my man David Deppner in Cyberware. You would love this product.
Yeah. Awesome. So what that does is basically looks at how much did you sell in total sales, but also how much profits did you get from X amount that you sold on Google Ads.
Let me zoom in on this. Ads, right? So, because I am not necessarily personally the ads overlord, but so you're saying on the 16th, your Google ad spend was $1,149 total?
Yeah, across campaigns. And so these are the spends. Of course, I don't have a real store, so the sales aren't going to show up. But then we have this. We have the total ad spend. We have the total Shopify sales as claimed by Shopify. This is therefore 100% the right.
But that's sales, for the day, right? That's not. This is not product specific. It's like this is what Google attributed. This is what you spent on this platform, and this is what you made in Shopify. So this is the actual true. No, like this is, you know, one like the source of truth for both. And then what's MER stand for?
MER is basically marketing efficiency ratio. Just says how much did I spend. So I spent $31 to make $38. So my MER is 1.2. This by that.
So if your profit margin is, you know, this it's very wow. Slim pickings out here.
Yeah, exactly. I had slim pickings in my fake store. Hopefully it won't be the case for most other companies.
And what's a healthy marketing efficiency ratio for the average brand or, you know, some kind of category?
It depends really on the product category margins themselves. Like if you're in fashion, you should be expecting anywhere from like 3 to 5x. But if you're in, say, electronics, then maybe even there's probably not going to be that big of an MER.
I know so many people that waste so much money on such more expensive tools, and you're basically giving them the answer. Like, meaning people build such complex data lakes, and you can help them get some pretty basic understanding how badly they're doing or how good they're doing. Like, people are trying to divine the fates and build all this stuff, and it's like, if this number is bad, your business is in trouble.
Exactly. And last year, we saw the focus moved a lot toward profitability.
Of course, so, as it should.
As it should have been from the get-go, right?
Once again, shout out to Cyberware, David Deppner. He's been talking about that for years.
Yeah, I'm going to check out his content next.
Yeah, we'll feature, we'll throw him up on the screen. Keep going, yeah.
Oh, awesome. So, for example, like these two are more profitable, more popular profit-oriented hops. So one is which of my products are have the most profits, and then what does the trend look like? Like, was it profitable 2 years ago, but is no longer so, and therefore needs to be removed. Then we have the same thing like ROAS, but it is, for lack of a better word, profit on ad spend.
Okay.
The last one I want to show, I'm not going to run all of them, but the last one I want to show is called sell-through rates by product. Now, this is a very, very interesting one, especially for fashion brands, where you look
sell
at...
Sell-through rates, okay.
Yeah. If I'm holding 100 units in my inventory, how long will it take me to sell? Like, within the last 30-day period, what was my sell-through rate? Did I sell 20% of those 100 products, or did I sell, 90% of those 100 products? So that's also a way to tell when to reorder items, when to get more inventory in, or when to discount the product further.
Okay. And is that one that would be good to sample run right now, or just we wouldn't?
Yeah, sure. Let me run
All right, last one. I'm getting too deep in the product, man. We
this.
gotta zoom out after this. We're getting too
Yeah.
hot on the product, which is good. We want people to learn. We got 8 viewers right now, 8 people loving this conversation, getting something from it, learning from you, and realizing shit, I need to try out Airboxer.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, if they aren't doing this analysis, whether they use Airbox or not, they should do this analysis. The data is usually somewhere there in Shopify, but it may not always be as easily
Yeah,
accessible.
it's hard to pull it out and matrix it, each step gets harder. This is really nice data unification. Do you guys also
And
tap into Klaviyo?
Yes, we also do Klaviyo. We
Because
do.
many people say the word of Klaviyo is the truth, right? Like the email marketers use Klaviyo's attribution and just say, "Oh, we made you so much money," and it's like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think a lot. I've heard this from a lot of people that they want to use Klaviyo's attribution, but it's almost always the email marketing manager. Nobody else trusts
Exactly, because
Klaviyo's
it's saying like, yeah,
attribution.
I was responsible. Oh, you did 100 grand last month. Yeah, we helped you with 50 grand. Okay, buddy.
Yeah. So these two columns are really what matter in this. So we've got, this product that Disney Princess. Has a sell-through rate of 33% and the average sales 0.5 per day. And again, with
Meaning
real
like
data,
you
this will be
have.
better.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So, for example, if I had 100 products to sell, I should expect that 3 of them will sell over the time period that I've over the 7-day time period that I have chosen right now.
Okay, so in that 3-day time period, you're going to sell two of those. Like, sorry if my math is terrible, but basically, if the current quantity is 6 and the sell-through rate is 33%, you're expected to sell two of them, or tell me a little. Maybe I'm. That's why I stopped math at AB calculus. I kind of gave up there.
Now, so you see, there were a total of 9 products in the last 7 days, and we
Okay.
sold 3.
Where do you see
So,
9? I don't see 9. Oh, okay.
we
So
6 plus
both.
3,
Sorry,
right?
sorry, sorry. 9 minus 3. Okay, got it. There we go. There's the missing variable in my head.
And therefore, the sell-through rate is 33%. Usually, the way to look at this is you look at how many products sold and you look at your sell-through rate. Let's say you do this over a month period or since the beginning of this month. If you see over time that the sell-through rate has started dropping for a certain product, that means that you need to either reduce price or retire it altogether and move on to your next product.
Got it, because you shouldn't invest your dollars in pushing that when it's clearly just dying out. And
More important for certain industries like fashion or
yeah,
maybe CPG.
exactly. Where you're featuring it first position on your women's page and you're like
Exactly.
really attached to this blue dress while a sleeper hit is on row 7 getting no love, right?
Exactly. And these are also the products with high sell-through rates are the ones that you should be featuring in your creatives, on your ads.
Okay. I mean, that's really cool. I mean, I wish, that I'm thinking of certain people that I work with who might benefit from this because sometimes you know what you're selling, but also this might give you some hidden insights or something that could really like change the game or give you, 'cause then you get excited, right? If you find a winner when you go on a hot, like, so I used to have a client, shout outs to SoHoGirl.com, women's fast fashion out of downtown LA. Like there would be trending items, right? There would be things that where like you would what's the word? There'd be like say like this specific that's why they call it fast fashion, obviously. But I meant like there would be so many trends and it would be so exciting when a product would go on a run, right? So even going back in my career when I worked in the Halloween industry. And this was around the time that Heath Ledger died and Michael Jackson, RIP. I don't think it was the same year, but it might have been. But when Heath Ledger passed away, there was this like Heritage Grand Joker costume, and that thing was on fire. I just mean is like that's an example of when you notice a trend, but this can help you spot the trend faster, right? Like this can help you say why, you know, like this thing that I thought was my biggest seller is going out of style. Let me pivot, which, you know, can help lessen the blow of just rapidly falling sales. So
correct.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I mean, I wonder, you know, like it just, I guess another question I had for you here was, and I know we're way over time, but I don't, you know, this is what happens when you get into the conversation, is do you plan to expand your product to other platforms? Because I feel like you already got the game on lock. If you didn't have to go through Shopify to see the interface, then technically speaking, you could do this anywhere, right? Like, I guess you used certain, I'm trying to not get too technical, but you know the components on the left side? Is that being rendered using Shopify UI? Or that's basically an iframe into your, basically you're using some kind of rendering to render that interface. So then you could technically render that anywhere.
Correct. So we don't work, we're not a, Shopify for us is an integration, just like Facebook is an integration, just like Google is an integration.
Got it.
We own the entire environment where we are pulling in the data and showing the data.
So a user will log into Airboxer directly. You're not, maybe you'll launch from the app to it in Shopify, but you're not. And do you have a Shopify app on the App Store?
Yes, we have a Shopify app on the App Store.
And is that what sets up the integration?
It's more for the integration. So you could start your journey by going to app.airboxer.com, or you could install the app directly from the App Store, and you will still end up at the same place.
Got it. But you need that Shopify app installed to create the API connections to suck out the data. So then do you support other e-commerce platforms, or do you intend to support other e-commerce platforms?
Yes, we most definitely do. In February, we just launched a private beta of Amazon Seller Central.
That is huge. If you're an Amazon seller or an Amazon PPC person, this is your ticket.
Yes. Then coming next is the Amazon Ads integration.
That's what I was going to say. It goes hand in hand.
Yeah. So yes, the goal is to have all of the e-commerce integrations possible.
What's next? Is it about the squeaky wheel? Yeah, go ahead.
So we're looking at possibly WooCommerce, Magento, and BigCommerce as the next.
You must. One. It's a must. What about good old Salesforce Commerce Cloud?
I think those are a bit more enterprise-y. We will wait to move up the chain a bit more before we get to Salesforce, Demandware.
It's more about the speed and the difficulty of the integration. So what I would say is, because your product is so universal, and you could be like, hey, man, let me just remind the viewers who are still watching who I'm speaking to. Serial entrepreneur, business founder, e-com legend, SaaS founder, venture capitalist. So like, who am I? But the point is that I think your product would appeal to anyone who's running an e-commerce brand. And so it could be pretty demand driven. So for example, if there was a nice brand running Salesforce, I think the main blocker is that certain ecosystems are more locked down. Like you need to have a certified cartridge or whatever in Salesforce. So it's harder for you guys to just get access to those APIs and build it. But technically, if someone had a middleware or some way of pulling out that data already, you could kind of sanitize and plug it in. Or do you need to build custom models for each integration?
No, because the good thing about these platforms are that the way the data is structured behind the scenes is almost always the same, right? So, for example, one Shopify store's data versus another Shopify store's data is structured exactly in the same way.
Of course.
So all we need to do is understand the data structures at first, and then once we know that, we pull the data using their API in the right format.
Well, for example, with Magento, right? It's a MySQL database. The data is in certain tables. Theoretically, that doesn't change. Like maybe the table names could be different, but the actual main structures are there. And plus, you could get other columns. But then, what I mean by that is if say you're locked out of the Demandware, Salesforce Commerce ecosystem. But someone has a middleware, a generic, you're getting data into Looker BI. Like if you had a way of pulling data out of your e-com platform, even through flat files, getting it into a format that Airboxer can ingest, that technically means Airboxer could do, you could do your thing
Oh,
on it.
yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. As long as we know the data structures, it doesn't matter how we know the data structures, we'll be able to pull
So what you're saying is you're primed for world domination, and it's
that.
just about how fast you can go. I think that's really cool, honestly, because this is a universal product, and it's not all the time that you see universal products. Like maybe it's this non-alcoholic beer talking, but it's kind of like, you know, when there's something where because think about it, someone could invent a similar product, but it's in a different set of hands, meaning it's only as good as the brilliant fractional data team mind that it comes from, which kind of means that you're limitless. Yes, you're choosing to go at your own pace, but if like a very large seller on BigCommerce came to you tomorrow and was
Of
willing to
course.
invest in like the custom plan, you'd be like, sure. Well, guess what? We just moved up our BigCommerce timeline because I don't want to downplay the amount of work, but I feel like what's cool about your platform also is like you're not having to re-engineer the wheel every time because that same set of reports can be applied to the other data. Like you might have to make a new entry and make sure it's sanit like the sanity check, but you can still shortcut every time you want to make an integration, you're shortcutting that time to market.
And that's what we did with Amazon Seller Central as well. We got like many requests in December, and by January we had it up and running, and we had people,
Crazy.
we had a beta up and running with 10 brands already. We will open this up to everyone hopefully in March.
Got it. So that's working out the kinks. And then what, if you could appeal to anyone like about Airboxer, what do you want people to know or what do you need help with? Like what's the biggest challenge right now or what's, you know, like vulnerable CEO moment, but like what's something where like if you had more eyes and ears on your product, because that's why you guys are out in the field. I know it's about customers, but what else is it from the ecosystem that would benefit you?
Right. I think for us, getting feedback and helping us prioritize what we build is literally the most important thing right now, because we have momentum now, right? We have people coming in, we have people using us, we have people giving us feedback. We have people, obviously, like there are people for whom this is not the right choice, right? We also, the knowing who it's not for is just as important as knowing
Well,
who
yeah, so
is the
then
best.
who is it not for? It's probably not for the guy that's going to use in to buy it and then not use it. It's definitely not for those people.
There are a lot of those people, but like for example, if very incredibly early stores that don't even have a lot of data who are getting 10 orders a day, don't bother with analyzing your data right now. Then just focus on getting your sales up, right? Don't obsess over the numbers just
Oh
yet.
yeah, like something that, you know, if you have 9 orders a day, you can't really define a trend because it could be so many variables. That's true.
And it's actually dangerous looking at smaller data sets, because you might be making a completely wrong interpretation based on what the data is telling you.
True. And it, but then, are there any must-have data points that are like ironclad, even as a small brand?
Even a small brand, literally everything that matters is just your sales number, right? And
True.
even if your ROAS doesn't look great, doesn't matter. Just get your first customers. Get your first
Okay.
customers, get them to pay some money. Even if you're spending $100 to make $30 worth of sale, it's fine. Right? As long as you have money to burn, obviously. But that will teach you enough to get to those other, to get your ROAS down to a point that you can afford it.
Okay. And like what? And are there any programs early stage brands can take advantage of?
Sorry, you mean programs by while working with us?
Meaning like in order to grow, you know how there's like those startup credits on AWS or you know like is there anything for early stage brands? Like obviously you guys have a free plan, so get the Airboxer free plan because that's a great tool for someone who's a startup. But then besides that, what is you know, like is there any advice you would give someone out
If
there?
someone is getting, if someone is getting started, I would say start with joining the limited supply Slack group, and of course, listen, follow you on LinkedIn, but also join the limited supply Slack group so that you know everyone in the ecosystem,
Is that
so
one of those
that.
DTC founders? Would I be shut out from that? Can I join?
Yeah, I think no, you should be fine to join as well.
Is oh, that's from Nick and oh, that's
Yeah, Nick Chambers.
yeah. So shout outs to Limited Supply. You guys are the podcast. You guys are the podcast lords. I guess I will join that group because why wouldn't I want people to know? But you know, like there, yeah, those are the dons. For all those who don't know, they're the current leaders in boring e-commerce podcasts, but they're very, well regarded in the community. I'm joking. Their podcast is not boring. I just meant in general, e-commerce podcasts are for a very specific segment of people. But yeah, so that's a really good idea. Let me see if I can tag them. Limited Supply. Oh, I see it. I saw the blue.
Yep, that blue.
Oh, I had it and it lost it. Hold on. Limited. Oh, it came and went again. All right, I guess it was not meant to be. We'll shout them out later. But anyway, yeah, it doesn't want to work with me here. Like I can't LinkedIn tag them without getting crazy here. So, you know, the point is like that's a good idea. So the basically don't go alone is what you're saying.
Yeah,
you are,
absolutely.
You know, that's something that's hard, right? We always feel alone. We feel like we can't ask for help, but so many people are struggling with the same challenges you are. That's very true for myself as an entrepreneur, founder of an e-commerce agency. You'd be surprised at how many people are going through the same challenges. You know, like in the New York community, there was some really cool founders I've met, like Mark from Icy, Galen King from Lucid. Like, you know, there's people that have been had their success or just go through similar challenges, and you like see people with a certain aura, but really everyone has their different things going on, and they're very willing and approachable to share. You
and
know,
if you're in New York, I would also say follow Zehra from Headline VC on Twitter. She does a lot of events targeted at consumer founders. You should definitely attend that. I attended one and I was blown away by the quality of people. And then
Headline VC. All right.
And then there's another.
How do I spell her name?
Zehra. Zehra. I'm not very sure what her LinkedIn, so what her Twitter. She's more active on Twitter than on LinkedIn, I think.
Okay. No problem. Keep going. So what's the next community?
Next one, you should follow bullish.co.
Bullish.co.
As well. Yeah. They do a lot of events as well. Sometimes they partner up with folks. This is just New York I'm talking about. There are obviously a lot more.
Are they the venture capital Bullish?
Yes. They also do consulting, and I think they build their own brands as well.
Like is their logo like with the two white lines and a purple thing, or is that someone else? Let me see.
It's also blue. It's the same blue as
yeah that looks like them. All right, I found them. All right, hold on, let me just have them. They just got the shout out for brand founders. Okay, thank you, adding so much value. See, if you're watching this, there is no way you're not learning something. We definitely attritioned every single viewer we had because, you know, we just took it to the limit. And that's what people do because it's always 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, Salima's still here. Amazon Early Access. Something's going on. Oh, we are in Amazon Early Access. Yes. But really, if anyone is watching this, it should make you proud to know that you definitely just learned something, right? Like we just delivered you some secret communities and secret in the sense that you didn't know about it. And now you know about it, right? So that's kind of what it's all about at the end of the day, is paying it forward, spreading awareness and information to everyone out there. You know, that like that's really what this is about. So, and I do see all the comments. I wasn't seeing those in real time. Maya E. Bush, can this product be offered to agencies that manage client stores? Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm sorry I didn't see this. Yes, it can. Hit up, I'll just say. Hit up Salima or set. Okay. They do offer agency packages. Of course, it wouldn't let me comment. Darn this LinkedIn for being so faulty. I'll just say yes, it can. Nope, LinkedIn's hating on your boy. Maya Bush, if you're still watching, we'll find you. You know, we'll try to do better at real-time commenting because it won't let me do it. All right, LinkedIn is really hating. Maya Bush, if you're out there, Yes, it can. So I'll send you Maya Bush's contact info, Saps, just so you know who was asking that. You can find her. She is someone cool from the DTC land. I met her at an event. I don't remember much more. It's been hazy out here. But this is Maya Bush. I think she did some cool consulting. Now I remember where she came from. I think I met her via Kaylin. So yeah, shout outs to Maya Bush. I don't know. I'll send this to you, Simran, so you have it. but yeah, so I'm going to send that to you. So yeah, while we're still here, I just want to say, the other question I had was, one of the purposes of the e-commerce hotline and what it's about is we're going to, you know, like, yes, it's a podcast, and yes, it's like, you know, that's really the point. But when you call a hotline, when you think of a hotline, it's usually an urgent situation, right? Like, there's some really serious hotlines out there, like the, you know, the domestic violence hotline, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. So we're not making light of those. But I would just say, in an e-com context, what constitutes an emergency to you? I would say, like, you know, a concept that was brought to my attention yesterday was, when you've been missold on a product by a vendor and you're an e-commerce store owner, who do you call, right? How do you find your way out of that situation? I think that could be a noble purpose for the actual e-commerce hotline. Like, if someone is having a problem, I think you're having a technical difficulty, but this is a serious moment, serious matter right now. You know, I would say, like, when you're having an emergency with your store where you've been wronged, you're in a situation with a vendor, you were told one thing and then it ended up being another, how do you get a trusted set of advisors to help you out of that situation? That might be a true purpose of the e-commerce hotline. So I'm going to give Saps a minute to come back if he can. We lost our mans in the field. I don't know what happened. Oh, you're back.
Hey, sorry, I had to grab my charger.
Okay, so his MacBook died. What was the last thing you heard me say, just so I can summarize that for you?
You were talking about the hotline.
Okay, so I was saying that we are not making light of true hotlines like the you know, suicide prevention hotline or domestic violence hotlines, or, you know, like emergency, like 911, gas emergencies, etc. But really, like, the point was, the e-commerce hotline could be when you have an e-commerce emergency, like when you've been missold on a product by a vendor and you're stuck in a bad situation and you don't know where to turn, you can call the e-commerce hotline. And I think that's a noble purpose, and I think that's something I can get behind. So thank you to Jason from Shopware for that suggestion, because I think we're going to run with it. And then the other thing is, I was just going to ask, do you have any anecdotes about that type of situation from your career, where either you as a e-com seller were in a bad situation, or was there, you know, something like that, right?
Yeah, and the biggest thing that you know, comes to mind is, I think something went wrong with the way our AWS was set up. Or no, I think maybe we had some sort of a hack attack. Yeah, it was some sort of a DDoS attack on the website, and we had set up AWS in a way that did not automatically take down the website if there was a DDoS attack, right? And I still remember the very next day we had like a $15,000 AWS bill.
What?
And yes, that is when I needed a hotline. But thankfully, I had our main POC at AWS on my WhatsApp. So he was my hotline. And I remember calling him and like, what the hell is going on? Like, we're figuring it out at our end, but you have to do something with the bill. Well, thankfully they did do something with the bill. We were not stuck with a $15,000 bill for one day.
That's amazing. So they had compassion on you and you had a rep that cared. So, yeah. But that could be something that for the moment it was happening, you were like having a heart attack. Like, exactly. Oh my gosh, how are we going to pay for this? This is the end of my... So, once again, not to make light of things, I have had open heart surgery. So if you got a problem with what I'm about to say, oh well, because I'm living my truth. But like, basically, you know, if you got hit with and mine was planned, but say you ended up in the hospital, you know, unplanned, and you got hit with a giant bill, and that caused a shock, to you or your family, or, you know, maybe something less serious. Like, well, very like, you know, like, for example, if the roof started leaking, like if my beautiful podcast studio that we're sitting in all of a sudden got flooded, which is a big fear of mine because it's in a basement. If for example, there's insurance, but you get my point. There is no assurance or insurance, so you might always need to trust a set of hands. That's one idea. So cool. I mean, that's a perfect example of the scenario. You know, many people go through it. I've seen that, right? Like, there's a lot of things where maybe you weren't paying attention or something happened. Like, yo, there's been some flubs in all of our careers. But like, you know, like where there was one where the business where the credit cards were left in test mode for a very long time. So none of the money got collected and all the orders shipped, which was crazy because somebody should have been checking the bank deposits. But at the end of the day, things like that, like, you know, that's something where you just might need someone to help guide you through the crisis, or, hey, here's what you can do. Go start calling these people. There's some things that literally you just need to get another set of ears or eyes on. But then there's things where maybe you didn't know a shortcut. Like, you know, like, there, for example, with a lot of shipping and a lot of returns and that kind of stuff, like, sometimes there's money being left on the table. There's this guy, Ross, that I met, and he specializes in helping people, like, arbitrate when FedEx or UPS didn't do something. You can actually get money back as a credit, and then they'll split the difference of that credit. So I feel like there's a lot of fixers out there. There's a lot of people that, just by knowing them, they can really help you. And I think that's part of having a good network. So just by going, so taking a full circle of what you said before, if you're in these communities and you're out, getting out of your house and, you know, putting yourself out there or joining, you know, joining friendly like places, people are more friendly than you think, and people want to help on average. So look, that's a great note to end it on. Let's keep it on the positive note. I wish you a good rest of your trip. I wish you a successful journey. This has been really enlightening to me. I'm really jazzed about the product. I want to go tell like 3 brands that we work with about this. That's actually something I struggle with, is like, because, okay, so in the e-com world, you can get commissions from recommending software, which is a nice bonus, you know, as a small business, it helps keep the lights on. But it's more for me, it's like, no solution can work unless the person embraces it and uses it. And it's like you said, people's behavior is hard to change. And so what I always wish for is just for people to listen, open their ears for a minute, try a product or see how it can work for them, because they may, like, I respect all the business owners and all the business people we work with, because you wouldn't be doing what you're doing if you didn't know something or you didn't have that fight. So it's like, sometimes I just want people to hear information, because then maybe they'll click. Like, what clicks for you doesn't always click for me, or vice versa. But once you see it and you're like, oh, can it apply to this problem set that I'm having? A light bulb will go off, and then maybe you'll connect those dots. And that's why I recommend solutions. It's not always because, like, this is hard, right? There's only so much money you have to spend on tech. But I would say that's what motivates me when I get excited about a solution like this. I'm like, this is like a window that you did not have. Actually, there was one more question, because I was trying to wrap it up, but now I have one more question. Did you get a lot of people running to you during the GA4 Armageddon, on which we're still living in the aftermath and all the ashes are falling and we live in Chernobyl of e-commerce right now, because GA is just dead. It's like almost a practically useless product now compared to what it was, unfortunately. And people are looking for different analytics solutions. Thanks to Paul Rogers for talking about that a little bit. But, you know, there's people exploring alternatives, or Shopify itself is being used as a source of truth for analytics now. What did you have a lot of customers coming to you, because you seem like a good place to go for that information? Because one, you can ingest the GA APIs. Two, you have the platform data. Three, you have the marketing data. And that's most of the things people were using it for anyway, was to say, hey, how's my business doing? What's my average this? What's the carts? You know, that sort of thing.
Correct. And that did happen to us when people first logged into GA4 for the first time, and then they saw the interface and realized that this looks nothing like the, you know, Universal Analytics.
Yeah.
They were obviously taken aback, right? But what we have done is the outputs that people usually got from Universal Analytics and they downloaded into CSV files, we made our GA4 outputs look exactly the same. So for someone using Airboxer to pull data in from UA versus GA4, what they saw in the spreadsheet was exactly the same.
That's cool.
So from their perspective, it's like, all right, I've been downloading this CSV file all the time. Now I get the same CSV file or the same spreadsheet from GA4 instead of Universal Analytics. I don't really care about GA4.
So you're saying you helped people just get back to feature parity.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, they were going to pull this data into a spreadsheet to further analyze. So what do they care whether, you know, we are pulling from GA4 or UA? That's our problem to solve. That's not their problem to solve.
Well, also what's nice is can you do a look back? Like, you know how like the UA data is still online, so that you might be an extraction tool in a way.
Yeah.
Can people use your service to get the data from GA out to Looker?
Yes. So we've kept our original Universal Analytics integrations live still.
Yeah, well, until the service gets taken offline, why not?
Exactly. So you could go back and say you needed, you know, before May data from there. You can always pull that into a spreadsheet and use that as a backup.
Yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, like once it's there, it's there. So like I advise anyone because that's a problem that keeps me up at night. Is I'm like, you know how much work it is to try to do that yourself or through an API. And, you know, it's like, but that means you could be used to help port that data into Looker and then matrix the data from GA4 into Looker.
But
you don't really sell your product like that. But that's one more cool, meaning like you're not selling it as a data transformation or data transportation tool, but that sounds like it's one more cool facet of the product.
Yes, correct. You could use it as a way to store backups or as a way to, you know, move data between systems. If you're using Looker, then we do have a service that we will create the Looker interface for you. And you know, behind the scenes, if there are multiple automations that need to be created to run that Looker dashboard, then we will create that for you as well.
Yeah, because that data is not always static. Like if you want that data updated going forward, you need to pull that data over a period over time.
Exactly. And so Airboxer would would pull new fresh data every day, and everything that's connected to Airboxer, like a Looker Studio dashboard, would also update every day accordingly.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, okay. This has been too much fun. I told you people there would be technical difficulties in the beginning. Like, I'm not loving the fact that I can't even respond to chats in real time. I think it would be cool if I could actually do it, but Maya Bush did hear us, so that's good. She felt heard, which means she was still watching, even though this thing doesn't tell me who's watching. I really feel lucky that people got value out of this. All in all, you've been an amazing guest. I think I was the problem, honestly, in the beginning, making your life miserable. But no, like this has been a phenomenal experience. I want to give one more opportunity because I really wanted to test the hotline. But I don't think he called. You know, I wanted some random individual to just call the hotline. So I'm just going to go enforce it and call it myself really quick while on the phone with you just to test the theory. But it would be nice if a real person could call. All right, so the best part about this is if someone calls, the goal is to get the audio into the, you know, like the audio into this without having the, like, we're not going to reveal your number or anything like that. We just want you to know you're being heard, right? So I'm calling it now. Okay, it's ringing on the computer. Do you hear that? Dun, nah, 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 nah. Somebody might hear that. Okay. So the problem I think is you won't hear it. Okay, so we're live. Okay.
Okay.
We're live. Yep, it's working. Because you see the air call thing is there. So watch this. So, but you can't hear it, right, Saps?
No,
because, yeah, so you're on Zoom. So I haven't bridged that gap. Only they can hear me on here. But if I had a way to like tap you into the feedback loop, like if you had this live stream open, I don't know, we'll figure it out later. But for example, if I walk over here, I can be like, hey, this is
Chuck from Alabama.
And you know, I'm running a Shopify store. We're selling venison from the woods of Alabama. And my Shopify is having problems. Anyway, it worked. That's awesome.
Awesome.
All right, cool. So I hope you'll come back. We could also do some recorded episodes one day. But this was a great off the cuff. Any last words, anything you want to say to me before we shut this thing down?
Well, we have to find a way to meet up again very soon. That's all I want to say. And thank you for having me. Thank you for having me on this.
Yeah, man.
I'm delighted to be number one on your hotline.
Yeah, no, you are literally the first ever live or not live, because I'm going to take this recording, clean up the beginning maybe, and put it out there on YouTube, because basically I signed up for YouTube live stream a little too late. They put me in jail for 24 hours because they don't want people just creating it. Even though I've had this account for years, they don't want people just going like, it's like the mandatory waiting period when you're trying to buy a gun. It's like, you need to think about this for 24 hours before we let you just go live on the internet. So yeah, I'm going to put the video up and I'm just going to stop the stream and the recording, but I won't hang up Zoom yet. And I was going to say that definitely want to meet up with you again. Like I said, I was out with Shopware last night. If you want to connect to those folks, it was like more of an intimate, just me and them. Otherwise, I was going to definitely tell you to come on down. So I was going to say, I can introduce you guys because they're trying to grow and this is another cool product. And also the founder, Stefan Heyman, if you're listening, I'm just going to see if I can tag him in the comments. I don't think I can, unfortunately. Let's see if I can tag. Hold on, ST. I got to zoom in because my eyes are not good with this. Right, here we go. We shouted you out. Please check out Airboxer. So Stefan Heyman is the founder of Shopware. It's been around for 20 years. He's like one of those genius CEOs or founders. No, it wouldn't let me tag him. This thing is terrible. Basically a genius CEO or founder who innovates his product. So like when the AI came out, he was like baking it into the product. So they have like, he was one of the first platforms to do AI natively in the platform. And they're constantly just trying to innovate their technology. So I think he would get a real kick out of what you're doing and help you get that integration live, because I just think that's one more competitive advantage that you guys have is to be in every market. So anyway, thank you. I'm Mayor Bianchi. Once again, this is Saptarshi Nath, or Saps, as he likes to be called, saying thank you for watching the e-commerce hotline. Next time, I hope you call because we got the phones here.
If you need help with e-commerce but don't have time, call the e-commerce hotline. If you need help to make your store shine, call the e-commerce hotline. Your store needs improving, don't deny, gotta call e-commerce hotline. Call 888-499-3266, your store will be fine. 888-499-3266, make your store shine. E-commerce hotline. E-commerce hotline.